Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
With the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's a little dark, but don't worry, the sun will come up as it always does every day here on this planet.
Traffic is light and variable on Edens. We got one rollover on the express.
Yeah, exactly. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to get involved in today's show. Questions, comments, want to brag about a fish or an animal you got. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. You never know what's going to happen on the show. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tommy Neubauer. He's Ryan Horvath on the boards. So if you want, give us a call, 799-1250. Danny!
Yep.
What do you got this morning? Anything?
A lot of nothing.
Well, I'll tell you, that temperature now nothing. Is cooling down the waters. But you know what? They're still warm. I mean, the waters are, you know, the lakes are not cold yet. It's still in the, well, what was it the other day? 67, I think.
Do you want to know how to tell when it's cold, Tom?
Okay.
When you can walk on it, dude.
Yeah, that's when it's really cold, yeah. But, somebody was just asking me yesterday, well, are those bass going to move? What about the pike, you know, and all that stuff? And I said, hey, we'll get to that. I said, because the reason we'll get to it is because somebody
was... You've been busy.
No, somebody's calling us.
Oh, okay.
And so we got a caller on the line. Who do you got, Ryan?
Kentucky Pete is on the line.
Hey. Kentucky Pete, how you doing?
Well, I said I'd call you this week. Went to talk to you last weekend, so good
yeah,
morning.
About you went up north, right?
Yeah, it was funny. Last week you said, why am I heading all the way up there and I'm driving up? And I was like, that guy, Tom, he might have been right.
Why?
Long drive.
It is a long drive. Yeah, it is.
But
Did you have somebody to share the vehicle with, though?
No, actually, I met my dad and uncle up here, so it was a...
That's
about 11 hours.
That's a long drive when you're by yourself, you know?
Yeah, and pulling a boat, too.
Yeah, if you got somebody, at least you can talk back and forth, keep each other awake, whatever. But so how'd you do? How'd it go?
Tell us again
where you went.
So right now we're on Kimball Lake, which is, that's where we're staying. It's right on the Douglas-Washburn County line.
Right, yeah, okay.
And so we got one boat here at the house, and this lake doesn't have muskies, so it's mostly bass and panfish and northern, and the bass pretty good. I'll tell you what, the water temperatures, the air temperature right now is 29.
Really?
Yeah, they had a freeze last night, but the water temperature is hanging in there. It was 60 yesterday on the lake here, and then we went musky fishing in a little lake in Washburn County, and it was 60 there, and I was surprised. That's still kind of warm, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it takes a while to cool down. I mean, down here, the water temperature a few days ago, earlier in the week, was like 67 still, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So we were trolling with, the usual deep divers and stuff, and weren't getting anything, and then we switched everything over to, cowgirls, and we're trolling those over the weed tops, and... no muskies, but boy, we got a really nice 34-inch northern that was really fat.
Mm-hmm.
And we harvested that one. My dad loves northern, and so we kept that one. So we're gonna go down to pretty good lake, Big Mackenzie Lake down there. It's a pretty good muskie lake today, and then we'll hit some of these other ones the rest of the week.
Well, I hope you have good luck.
Yeah, I bought some mini mites. I've never tried them. I'm going to try them on the lake that we're staying on here because they got a good panfish in here.
Well, I can attest to the fact that they do work, without a doubt.
Yeah. Hey, it's the lake we're on. It's a small lake. It's really weird. It's a tiny lake, but it's 77 feet deep.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
So. And it's super clear too. So, but the bass fishing here is pretty good. My uncle likes eating bass for some reason, and he likes getting them. So we'll probably do some of that too. But it was it didn't snow yesterday, but we were getting ice pellets coming down, little scattered showers late in the afternoon, and the wind was just whipping out of the north. So we'll see.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You mentioned Big Mackenzie Lake. Isn't there a Little Mackenzie, Big Mackenzie? Seems to me I've been up there at some point years ago.
Yeah, because it's a little bit west of northwest of Spooner, and all this is west of Hayward. But yeah, there's a middle Mackenzie. I think there's upper, middle, or big, small, and middle, or something like that.
So you said Big Mackenzie is good for muskie. Has it always been good for muskie? Because seems to me I was there years ago, and I don't recall it being a muskie lake, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I think it goes up and down, but for the most part, yeah, I think it has been pretty good.
Okay. I just wondered if it was something they started stocking recently, or if it's always historically been a good muskie lake.
No, I think they've always had them in there. It's real hit and miss with those kind of lakes. It's a pretty clear lake. So,
are you guys going to try soaking any suckers?
You know, we might have to if it keeps getting cold. But you know, it's going to be up near 70 again on Wednesday. So,
yeah, but it's not a bad idea to soak them.
Well, they'll stay lively now. You got that water cold enough. And I've caught some nice ones on suckers this time of year.
Yep.
Especially when I get lazy and I just want to lay back and chill, which is more and more frequent.
Well, we've had some really good success. Yeah, if you drop a couple, like I said, if you drop some suckers in and then you're casting and maybe you get a follow and then they find that sucker, then you got them.
Yep. Well, listen.
It works.
Listen, Pete, it is Pete, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Kentucky Pete. Let us know next week how you did on those muskies up there on Big Mackenzie, all right?
I will. Well, right. We're going to hit some of the, we'll go over to Sauter County, hit all the famous lakes. We'll probably go to Big Chip and Grindstone and Couderay and all those big lakes there.
All right.
All right.
You have a nice trip.
Good luck.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pete. Bye now. Yeah, this is not a bad, this is the okay time of year to put them suckers out. Why not? Because you can catch fish casting now. Still, you can still catch them casting, and so might as well have some suckers out.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird time of year, though. September's always been a kind of a tougher month for me, to be honest with you.
I know up in northern Wisconsin, when I used to guide up there, September was the great month. For up there, but it's different down here. Than
I don't know.
There,
I mean, it's hit or miss. You can have. Now, I was out on Pewaukee for my last trip of the year on Saturday with Dr. Sandy.
Yeah.
And we trolled and didn't get anything. So we'd gotten two the time before that, but then nothing. Well, that's the way it goes. Now, I saw a lot of guys out there just jigging their hearts out with the
Bondi
Bondis
baits?
And deep fuzzy dozzets and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see any nets coming out there either. So marking a lot of fish out deep, but sometimes those fish just kind of get the lockjaw. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's musky fishing. Some days you're to, what is it? Some days you're to fly or a bug.
Some days you're the windshield.
Yeah, that's right. Who do you got, Ryan?
Jake is on the line. He's got a question for one of you guys.
Yeah, hey, Jake, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
What are you
doing up
so early?
Pertaining to musky reels, I have a question regarding, like, the power handles versus, like, a regular paddle handle.
Yeah.
What is the big advantage of the power handle? Is that supposed to help you bring your bait in easier or fight the fish? Or
they're way better. They're way better. I've got about 30 rods and reels. And the power handles, they're all Abu Garcias. They were like $17 a piece. So, of course, I didn't want to go 30 times 17 all at once, or I'd have to mortgage the grandkids that I don't have future. But it's much easier as far as when you're working the big baits, you just seem to have a little bit more leverage. It seems like you can just bring the baits in if you're trying to burn it faster. The two-handled ones,
they're small.
They're smaller, and
the diameter is real short. And so your winding, it seems faster,
right,
than what you would have to with the power handle.
So the power handle is just more comfortable as far as working big baits, burning baits faster, and even fighting a fish. You know, I seem to have a firmer grip on that big power handle than I do on those two. You know, a little handle might come out of my hand. You know, as I'm setting hook or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it affect? The power handle, does it affect the line recovery in any way? Like if you have a 6.3 reel and then all of a sudden you switch it over, you know, with a power handle and you switch it to like a paddle handle, does it affect how many inches of line come in per turn? Or,
well, let's think about it from a geometry standpoint. If you make a full turn, full revolution with your handle with the reel, it's almost like a gearing type thing. I would think so, because you got a wider, long, the diameter is more.
Right.
So if you make that turn,
I think you will, if I remember correctly, you'll have to like slow down your turning, you know, your wrist, you know, turning the handle a little bit, I think. I think so. Just because
I hit you up for one more quick question?
Yeah.
Last year, and this was kind of regarding like a Lexa musky reel, I bought one at 6.3 a couple years ago, and I noticed when I was throwing, not, you know, great big baits, but, you know, just a little bigger bladed baits, it kind of felt like it was binding a little. And now they came out with this HD version, and it's supposed to be stainless steel. Will that help the non-binding issue?
That should. See, some of the reels will not handle those bigger, heavier baits as well as some of the newer ones that are heavy duty. You know, I guess that's what the HD stands for. They can handle those heavier baits better. I think the gearing is maybe thicker, more solid. You said it was made out of stainless steel.
Yeah, that's what they're saying with the HD one. Yeah. And the baits I was throwing weren't like the big cowgirls or anything. It was just like spinner baits that just had like Colorados. And I noticed that when I went with a bigger bladed like spinner bait, it was harder to reel. And I was like, man, this isn't big enough to really bind this reel up. So I'm curious if the newer HD ones would handle the same type of bait without that binding feeling.
You know, the guy I would ask about that seriously is call Smokey's Musky Shop and ask for Ron Heidenreich, our advertising manager. Because Ron uses a lot of those different reels, and he does all casting for muskies, so he would know and he sells a lot of those reels at Smokies, so he would know which ones are good for which situation and what type of lures.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the help.
You're welcome. Take care.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. We got to go to a quick break. We got to pay some bills, keep the lights on, keep Ryan happy. He wants to get a paycheck this week. So we'll be right back with more with Danny and Tom and Ryan and the sun. And it's just starting to get light out. Thank goodness. It's about time. We'll be right back with more of the Midwestern.
Midwestern Shooter Supply, Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. If you have a fishing report, question,
whatever, comment,
tree in your driveway.
And if you don't want to call us,
marriage problems,
You can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. That's ceoguys@yahoo.com. Some people, Danny, are just afraid to call on the radio. They'd rather send an email, you know. Want to be a little...
Have we got any emails there, Tom?
No, not right now.
And nope. Why'd you bring it up?
Well, to let people know that they can.
Like segueing into.
No, well, no. We got an email no, here, we don't. Dan.
Hey, I got a question though for you and the audience. All right, at what temperature will mosquitoes start?
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes. Will mosquitoes?
I'll have that with my McFry. Yeah,
start to die. What temperature do they die at? What's the magic number that we got to look for down here?
Well, I think most mosquitoes tend to McDie when there's the first McFrost of the McFall.
You think it's the first frost? So it's got to get below 32.
Yep. So I'm anticipating when I go to go out in the woods today that the mosquitoes will all be McGone.
Well, I'll tell you, last week talking to a lot of people.
Maybe we can ask Mike McGivern about that.
Mike McGivern. Because the last couple of weeks for deer hunting, people said, like when my son was up.
Horrible.
Just
my brother
terrible.
Climbed out of his stand, and he's near that Wapaka area. Even the DNR website made reference to the horrific mosquitoes. It was driving them nuts, everybody I've talked to. So, and my brother's not easily swayed by mosquitoes. Yeah. You know, he's not like some of these people that go out, you know. I was talking about this on one of the shows where I was out setting up the tent earlier this year, and everybody's going, Ron Johnson, our buddy Ron, Mr. Outdoors Camper from Arizona. He's like, oh, the mosquitoes are terrible. And I'm like, I didn't see a single mosquito around. So if the mosquitoes are bothering a bush, you know that they are
really bad.
Yeah. So if my brother climbed out of the tree, you know they are horrendous.
Yeah. Wow. Because, you know, even where I live, I haven't seen a mosquito in years. I mean, literally years. I have not seen one around my house. Now, you walk on the grass and you're like kicking them up. You know,
you ever
they're
breathed,
all over.
Have you ever sucked one in and breathed?
Oh, I've eaten a few.
In? Yeah.
Unfortunately,
you always kind of try and use the gag reflex to spit it out, but it's already halfway down your esophagus, I think.
Yeah, you can't help it.
Well, they got good protein in there. Yeah. Actually boost your testosterone level. It's a known fact if you ingest mosquitoes.
But, hey, could you get West Nile virus by swallowing one that is infected versus
your stomach acids will take care of that, Tom.
Yeah, versus one that pokes
you. Can actually swallow a treble hook, Tom, and your stomach acids will take care of it.
I believe that.
You got to try it sometime.
Yeah, right. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll make sure I go home and do that.
Let us know how that works coming out the other end.
Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh God. So what we're looking for is 32 degrees for them
to McDie.
Yeah.
So the
for them to McDie.
Fall colors, Tom. Evidently, up in far northern Wisconsin, in some areas, fall colors are at 50% to near their peak. From what I understand. Now down here, it still seems like it's been the middle of summer. So. Evidently, you know, fall's coming upon us faster.
It is.
Rather than later. So in the next month, we're going to expect all those hardwood trees, those maples and so forth, get some beautiful color.
Squirrels will be running around like crazy.
And today's opening of duck, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe our buddy Al Shook can give us a call about it.
Yeah, he'll tell us about the ducks. What do you got,
ducks?
Ryan?
This is Rich from Milwaukee. He's got a question for you guys. Yeah. He's in his car.
Hey, Rich. How you doing today?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, good.
Yeah, I've been fishing the Castle Rock Petalwell flowages for probably about 40 years.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, I've heard this is a well-known musky spot, not known to a lot of people. And I never musky fished. I've talked to some of the fishermen that are actually walleye fishing, and they catch muskies by mistake.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Well, great. Is there a preferred spinner bait that I could use anywhere from till the ice freezes up?
Well, I wouldn't use a spinner bait. Bushy and I would probably use inline spinners, you know, like bigger bucktails.
Well, spinner baits are good, though, too.
Yeah, they can be.
Steve Milliot was a big proponent of spinner baits on Pewaukee when everyone was throwing inline. But Tom's right. The inline are more popular, I guess.
And they're all good, okay? There's a lot of good ones out there. If you go to Smokey's Muskie Shop, they got all kinds of them. guys can recommend good colors and sizes, well, but
Peatonwell, that's where you're fishing, right?
Well, it's more south of there, but it's the general flowage.
Okay. So that's probably it. Tom's an expert on colors on baits.
Right.
So that, Tom, I would assume that's a dark stained water, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So what kind of colors would you use, spinnerbait or inline, dark stained water?
I'd have two with me. One would be a black bucktail with orange blades and with a trailer on the back end, like a Zoom, a split tail trailer, something like that. But it's got to be white. It's got to be a white
twister tail type thing.
Yeah, white trailer. And then the other one I'd have would either be a white with a gold blade or a chartreuse with a gold blade.
Excellent.
Those are the ones that I would be using there. And if it, you know, depending on the day, I mean, you know, the black one, the white one, they could work whether it's sunny or cloudy, you know, but those are the ones that I would have. Yeah.
And what about like the spinner choice? Any preference to a silver versus a copper?
Orange blade on the black one and gold on gold blade. Got to get the gold blade, especially up there, because you'll find that all your bait fish up there in that stained water, and even the walleyes, you know, they're a little darker in color. They have that goldish hue to them, you know, especially in the bait fish. So a gold blade on the white or chartreuse bucktails.
Although if you can't find the gold, copper would be kind of similar, Tom.
Yeah, if you can't find the gold. But hopefully you'll find it.
Because gold's a little lighter than the copper, right?
Yeah, a little lighter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, excellent. And by any chance, did either one of you hear anything about the elk hunt that went on this fall? Do you know if it started yet, or was that in October?
I think that's coming up later on.
Okay, I kind of thought so, but I wasn't certain.
Yeah, well, you know, we're right on top of things. We're on the cutting edge of stuff.
Tom will be at the registration station taking a sample off the thing's head.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it when it happens.
But that's a good question because I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
So
hey, you guys, you take care. Have a good show as always.
Well, thank you.
Good luck fishing.
Good fishing out there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Peatonwell. The Peatonwell has really become a place for musky nuts. They've got some really good areas out there. They got some nice fish out there, and that body of water's got a lot of food for them. A lot of food. So
yeah, and it's always been a big popular walleye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, the strange thing about Peatonwell that I've heard is that if you ice fish for walleyes, you got to go during the day because it's so dark and stained that guys don't do the ice fishing at night for the walleyes. You're better off fishing during the day, at least so I have been told.
Well, I got a question about that when we come back from this break, about ice fishing and dark water like that. I got a question. So maybe you can answer it, or maybe our audience can answer it. Maybe Ryan can answer it. Yeah, like Ryan. Ryan, you know anything about ice fishing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay,
I'm not answering any questions.
No, you're not answering anything? All right.
No way.
All right, coming up is the gut report, and then don't forget,
why wouldn't you welcome an FBI investigation to question you, Ryan?
Yeah. I'm way too tired today.
And then don't forget, after the 6:45 break, we have the Hornswoggle brought to you by Baitmate and Coleman Insect Repellents. This is going to be the last Hornswoggle by Baitmate and Coleman, so you definitely want to get a chance at winning that nice prize package. Stay tuned for the Gut Report. We'll be right back with more of the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. You know, folks, when you're making a salad, this is a tip, not a recipe, but when you're making a salad, you're putting oil and some type of vinegar together. But you know, they don't emulsify correctly. They don't, you know, get together. Yeah, emulsify.
Yeah, what?
Emulsify. Well, that
look
means
that up, Ryan.
Yeah,
they
I was
will
say, that's
always,
not a word.
Yes, it is.
I'm kidding.
They will not. They always separate, right? They always separate. The oil and the vinegar always separate. And it's like it just dries you nuts. Now, if you want to stop that separation, just add like a quarter or a half a teaspoon of mustard, any kind of mustard. And when you whip that together, it will emulsify and everything will be blended nicely. Bushy's laughing over here. But the thing is I don't care for mustard in my salad dressing. So I'm going to live with the separation. That's okay with me. But if you don't want to live with that separation and you want it to, here we go, Danny, emulsify properly, a quarter or a half a teaspoon of mustard in there, and you won't have any problems. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials and how to emulsify, go to discountliquor.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Bushy, you're laughing over there. Have you ever actually put the two together and made a salad?
It's a good McTip, Tom. I got caught emulsifying once.
And your parents slapped your hands.
Thought I'd go blind.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Too early in the morning.
So, let's see. Back opening a duck today.
Yeah.
October 15th, inland.
The question I had for you.
Okay, question, Tom.
Okay, in the dark water, like Peyton Webb flowage, okay, or any other dark water, you find a lot of lakes in northern Wisconsin that have tea-stained colored water, right? Now, guys will use glow-in-the-dark jigs, mm-hmm. All right? And I know a lot of them are sold. I mean, there's glow-in-the-dark spoons that people use on Lake Michigan and all that.
Bought some stock in the glow-in-the-dark paint company.
So Here's the thing. But to me, Danny, it's like that glow-in-the-dark jig or spoon or whatever down there, it doesn't – I mean, it's nothing like that is down there, nothing natural. Like, you know what I mean? It's like here's this glowing thing, and a fish thinks, oh, I should eat this glowing thing. You know, I mean – I don't know. It just seems weird, but they do work. So would you be able to use, like, say, like glow-in-the-dark stuff for the Peyton Well flowage? If you know, let's say if you're fishing it at night instead of during the day.
I don't know, man. I used to use glow-in-the-dark Cleos and stuff off the pier
in
Lake Michigan, and at times it sure didn't hurt.
Seemed to help.
I think any kind of flash, what if a guy were to make, like, a waterproof bait that you could put, well, they did the old grizzly plugs, which were a knockoff of the J plug.
Yeah.
Had a little stick that you could break, one of the glow sticks, glow in the dark sticks, and you'd put it right inside.
Right.
And but what if a guy tried something with like a little flashing light, like inside a musky bait or something that would emit kind of a pulsing kind of a light.
Light.
Probably just hypnotize a fish, put it to sleep.
I don't know. That might work. You might need like a little battery in there or something. Wasn't there a lure made with a battery that would make sounds? It had a battery in it? I think there was.
I don't know. I told you my cousin years ago when he smoked too much weed, we used to sit on the shoreline of the St. Louis River and listen to music and fish pike. And he claimed that every time the music was playing, we caught a pike. So then he tested his theory by getting a little tape player and putting it in a mason jar and sealing it on a string and floating it out.
Did he really?
And he claimed that it was Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd was the specific music that the pike preferred. So he floated out and he basically wrecked his tape player and his Pink Floyd tape, and he didn't catch any pike. So the theory, it was only one trial. Realistically, he should have done more than one run, and he should have had a control mason jar out there empty on a string.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, the scientific method.
Do it right.
But his hypothesis was that Pink Floyd music emanated, got the pike to hit. Like I said, he smoked a lot of pot.
He smoked a lot of pot.
And basically, after a while, he didn't really give a hot you-know-what about whether he caught a fish or not when he's sitting there burning them. I, however, was straight-laced and did not partake in none of that stuff.
Oh, God. Well, some people come up. Well, there's these lures called Livingston lures that emit a sound. Have you seen those? A lot of people are using them, Livingston lures.
They emit a...
There's some kind of sound that they admit they got. It's supposed to sound like a bait fish or something. I don't know.
If a guy could somehow measure the sound of a bait... You know, they use big bucktails for vibration. In fact, they say that when the first cowgirls came out, those double 10 blades, for some reason, had just the right vibration type of thing that the muskies honed in on. And of course, we know game fish have their lateral line.
Right.
But if a guy could find a way to mimic the exact pulses or whatever, whatever it is from like a panic bait fish swimming in the water,
right.
if you could find a way to get a bait, a lure that would mimic that type of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd be on to something there, Tom. Let's get right on. Let's get to the Berkeley Laboratory tomorrow and get right to work on that.
Right down to Spirit Lake, Iowa, and work on it.
Yeah. We'll work on that. Maybe I can, maybe I can revisit that mason jar music thing again and see if my cousin was on to something there.
I don't know. We might have to smoke something.
I lived there.
Where?
Spirit Lake, you just said?
Yeah, Spirit Lake, Iowa. That's where Berkeley is.
Yeah, after I did radio in Creston, Iowa, which is nowhere near Spirit Lake, but when I got finished with my job, I had like a couple months in between.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just went and lived there for like half of a year and just fished and lived over in Spirit Lake.
Really?
In Okoboji.
Yeah? Did you ever use glow-in-the-dark jigs?
No.
Have you ever?
No, I have never.
Oh, did you ever catch any fish down there then?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you catch?
A bunch of different fish, actually, because I did the tours. I never really caught anything. I was with guys that caught some good stuff, though, some bass and things of that such. I never really catch anything good, to tell you the truth.
Well, you're listening to the right show.
I was going to say, I was trying to think of a good story, and I never really actually caught anything good that I could, like, take
most stories fishermen have are all BS anyway, man. You can come up with something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like a good story, but no, not nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Okay.
I did the tours, like I said, with guys that caught some good stuff, but I was usually just drinking in the back of the boat.
I was just going to mention, I think there might have been that involved that you were just taking it easy, you know?
Yeah.
Just getting a suntan.
Speaking of catching now, trout, Tom.
Yeah.
October 15th, I guess the inland trout season ends.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was online looking at some guy. He had a picture of, he's on a little stream. He's got a beautiful brown trout that he caught. Looks like it's about 16 inches long. Hook jaw on it.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any of that inland?
Do
you ever get any, like a big, beautiful brookie or a nice brown trout?
Nothing big. I bet you the biggest, whether it be a rainbow or a brown, I think the biggest one I ever caught might have been 10 inches. I mean, everything was, you know, smaller, you know.
Okay.
But we did it. As a matter of fact, I had to get a special fly rod, a shorter fly rod, because the one stream that we'd go to, it was a smaller stream, and there was a lot of trees and overhang. And so you couldn't make big back casts. You had to make a lot of roll casts. But even with like an 8.5 or 9-foot rod, you needed something shorter, you know, because it was so dense foliage, you know, and small stream. So, but yeah, it worked out well. But I'll tell you, some very productive times were just using a spinning rod, light action spinning rod.
Tip of a night crawler with a
little hook and a little piece of crawler on it, you know, or actually we would use leaf worms.
Well,
a leaf worm.
Those inland trout, like the picture of the brown trout I saw, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I couldn't keep anything that beautiful just to eat. Yeah, I'd have to let something like that go. If I was going to get it mounted, that'd be one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe catching a smaller little eater size, little brookies.
Yeah,
I've done that before. The bigger brookies, they get that orange belly on them.
Oh.
You know, something like that is just gorgeous.
I'll tell you, the first time I saw a brook trout, you know, a mounted one, I had never seen one in real life, right? I just saw a mounted brook trout. And I'm thinking, you know, that taxidermist, he was making up these colors. He's making this up. Hey, no fish looks like that. And then when I saw one for real, I went, oh, my goodness. They do look like that. They're gorgeous fish. Anyway, we got to go to a break. Guess what's coming up next, folks? The Hornswoggle with Danny.
Yep. Last week's winner, Rob. Hold tight, buddy. When I left this morning, I looked at my notes, and I realized I forgot to forward last week's winner to Baitmate. So it'll be coming.
Okay.
I'll send both. We'll have a winner in a little bit. Yeah. I'll send both of them in.
Yeah, so if you want to play Hornswoggle and win a wonderful prize, a wonderful, wonderful prize package.
$799-1250.
Yeah, and it is brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. That's 414-799-1250. Be a contestant, as
lucky
Bushy says.
Wiener.
Yeah, we'll be right back with more, folks. So be a contestant. Call now. We'll see you in a bit. We'll be right back.
Listen to Ted.
You like this Tom guitar, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Did you play this?
Back in I don't the day? Think so.
No?
I don't think so.
You should've.
You were an expert, Tom. Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. Hunting, fishing reports, however, right now. We have our Hornswoggle segment, and do we have a lucky contestant there, Ryan?
We do. We got Mike Murray, and my apologies, Mike, because I'm a little slow this morning.
Well,
so.
We're kind of talking, Mike, that all these stupid... What happened? I grew up on 1910 Deborah Lane. What's with all these addresses that are Northwest 135 SW, County Trunk 156 Sheridan Road?
A lot of numbers
oh
in
my
them
God.
Nowadays.
So... Anyway.
Good morning, Mike.
So you know how this works.
Good morning, guys.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I'll make the statement. If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm telling the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. Let's start. We're going to talk a little, you know, like small animals today here. Chipmunks. Everybody knows the wily chipmunk. Chipmunks cannot climb a tree above 20 feet because their vestibular mechanism fails and they will get vertigo. Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Okay. Ring. Okay.
You knew that right away, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
The woodchuck. The woodchuck is the fastest member of the burrowing animals. Woodchuck.
Hornswoggle.
Tom, have you ever seen a woodchuck run?
I've never seen a fast one.
You could outrun a woodchuck, Tom.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. Let's see if
well,
you
you're
got...
a winner now. But
well,
let's...
you're a winner. Let's see if you would have got the last one. Chipmunks and the 13-line ground squirrel will interbreed. However, their offspring are sterile.
No Hornswoggle.
Oh, that was a Hornswoggle.
He
oh,
had all okay. Hornswoggles
yeah, you got
today.
Me.
Have you ever seen a chipmunk make it with a 13-line? Ground squirrel, it ain't pretty. You don't
no,
want to see
but
it.
No, but I don't get around.
Just YouTube it. It's there.
Yeah. I don't get around Mike either. I've never seen it either. So
yeah. All right. So we'll get you. Oh, what kind of bait, mate? What flavor do you want?
I'd like the game fish.
Game fish. That's a good choice. I like that game fish stuff too. In fact, I got to go get some more of that. Tom will tell me go out to Smokies. And get it. And then as far as the mosquitoes, being as they're about all ready to McDie off on us, but you can use it for next year. What do you want, DEET or DEET-less?
I'll take the 40% DEET.
40% DEET. Okay, we'll put you on hold. And
actually,
Ryan,
I think I got you all settled, man. I was out of it there for a minute, but I put two and two together, and I got your address.
Ryan
Thank
went outside and smoked some
All
weird
right.
stuff.
Thanks, Mike, and congrats
All
for
right,
winning.
Thanks, Mike, for listening,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. So we got a winner. That's
no, it was
great.
Actually a nice and easy address. I don't know where I was getting a couple of those letters from, guys.
You know, have you ever wondered whether you got, like, a specific learning disability? Where,
Me?
Like, when you hear
no.
something, you turn it around, and it's...
Called dyslexia?
No, man, I had a perfect GPA.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that your superior intellect could have been used to overcome whatever handicaps you may have had.
But wouldn't I have to take...
I mean, look at Tom.
There'd be
look
some
at me.
Sort of...
Look, he's a,
look
he
at me.
Lots, he had lots of obstacles in his
look
life.
Look at me.
He's achieved.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
No, you sure?
Yeah,
you're
just... Good. You know, man...
We're going to play a game where we're going to, like, repeat something... And go around. Well, you know what, though?
Could we do
you
this game at like
game
noon or 1 p.m.?
Put everybody in a circle and you start out making a statement to one person and then they are supposed to repeat it exactly to the next person.
Oh, and it's never the same.
And by the time it comes around, it's
like,
completely changed.
It's like telling a joke or a story.
Yeah.
You tell a short story and then you get like eight people or whatever. By the time it gets back around, it's different. It's different. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. People add things. They want to put their own twist on it. They want to edit life.
Unless that's the psychological way that we filter and interpret what we're hearing, is that mm-hmm. we hear what we want to hear.
Yeah, and it depends, too, on a person's built-in character, because we're all made out of four different characters. I don't know if I ever told you this. You got
Is that the id, the ego, the super ego?
No, you got the choleric.
The knucklehead.
You got the choleric, the sanguine, the melancholic, and the phlegmatic. And those four, and we all have a little bit of all four within us.
Are they all like infused or whatever that word you were using before with the mixture together?
Emulsified.
Are they all kind of like emulsified together?
Yes.
Was that a word, Ryan?
You guys are using way too big of words for me for 6:54.
I'll tell you what. I'll explain it after
maybe
this
Roger.
Phone call.
Yeah, maybe Roger such knows. Roger, is that a word?
Genius.
Hey, Roger, what's up?
I got a question and looking for opinions from you guys.
All right.
Hook setting with quick strike rigs.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard, you know, many different ways. I've done it in many different fashions, but I'd like to hear about things like how far away should the fish be from the boat? Do you have a little slack line right before you snap hook set, or do you tighten up all the way and do more of a sweeping hook set? Should the fish be moving in a particular direction away from the boat or perpendicular to it? I'd like to hear your opinions on something like that.
Roger, you were all right.
Okay, Tom, take it away. Correct. And then I'll.
Okay. First of all, yes, you want to be as close to them. You'd like to be right over the top of them. Preferably, they should be going away from you. Okay. So you were right in that regard. Closer you are, the better. Over the top is good. The fish should be starting to move away from you. If they're too far away, you got to like use the electric motor, the big motor. You got to get up closer to them. Let's face it. If you're reeling just to make sure the fish is there, you know, and then your rod's starting to bend over, well, you have no choice but to then set the hook. But if I had preferred, I'd rather have a touch of slack and use that slack line hook set method, okay? Right. I'd rather do that, but let's face it, a lot of times we can't, okay? You start reeling it in. You know what I'm talking about. You feel the fish is there. You feel the weight. The rod's starting to bend, and you pull on it several times. So you were right in all respects. Yeah.
Okay, let me just ask a couple more questions related to that.
One more thing, Mike. And sure. According to the DNR rules, you're supposed to set that hook immediately. They say as soon as possible or immediately or whatever. You can't chase it around. Well, if you got a sucker under a float 30 feet behind the boat, and that baby's taking off on you, well, you got to catch up to it. You can't set the hook right away when it's 30 feet out there. You know what I mean? So right, you've got to try to catch up
to
it.
Okay. I'm going to disagree in a little bit, Tom.
That's all right.
30 feet away, 20-30 feet going away from me is my preferred hook set.
Yeah, I mean,
if I'm in deep water, if I'm in 20 feet of water, then and it grabs it down deep, then I'll set directly under.
Yeah, okay.
But if I'm in shallow water and it's close, you got to be careful. If you miss, those hooks can come flying back and you got to really be careful. So if I'm in shallow water, I don't want to set the hook 2 feet away from the boat. So
I do like it
kind of going away.
Yeah.
But I agree with Tom in that I wind up and wait till it loads the rod so it's tight so I don't have any slack and set it. That all being said, there is no perfect way because sometimes you get them and sometimes you don't.
Yeah. What was the other question, Mike?
It's Roger.
Roger. I'm sorry, Roger.
That's all right. I mean, I also have found that when you're, hook setting on a fish that you get on the bobber rig, it's prudent, I think, to set it a little bit harder or get a little bit closer to the fish because you got that drag from the bobber itself, if you ask me. I mean,
you're
pulling against that. Also, the other question in terms of the quick strike rig, usually, you know, for small to mid-sized suckers, I usually am just using the nose pin and then the single treble hook.
Right.
I've found personally that with a bobber rig, if I take the treble and hook it to the sucker more towards the bottom or the belly of the sucker, not on the belly but lower side, I get a better hookup rate there because my thought process is the muskie is coming up from underneath usually with a bobber rig and grabbing it, whereas with my down or side rods, I'm actually hooking the putting the treble hook in the top part midway. On the sucker, because usually when you get conversion type strikes, I think the muskie is actually coming over the top of it and chomping down on it. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, one thing I do try and avoid is I try when I put the back treble in, I try not to get that in a position where it could get buried under the backbone. Okay. So I do try and come down a little bit. Your idea on the towards the belly isn't a bad idea, because a lot of times when you do miss one, you'll find those teeth marks on the belly. As far as the bobber thing, I quit using those big bobbers years ago, and I go with the European slip float ones, the big ones, and then you don't get any drag when you do the hook set. And
oh, the long, narrow, the ones that look like a big cigar.
The balsa ones, the McPhill ones, those have been the best. Yep. But your thoughts are valid.
Yes.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it.
Okay, right, good luck. Care. Thanks. Okay, and right now, it is time on the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors for the Sports Update with Ryan Horvat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.